in the morning in the back of the Beamer. Now, mama, what's up? I know that you're a schemer, but you can't be frontin' when it comes to this. Put down your back tricks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city. I said I'd get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. And you liked it like that, to be so big and to be so fast. Because we up in the mud house, over in the club, getting crunk, bling, bling, I got some love for you. Ass moving so fast, can't think. Big buzz bouncing up on the sink. I wish you was here, but I can't be sure. The night's all black, everything's blue. Got my jacket on, smoking, looking like juice, sunny on the table, on the shit's all I'm saying.
Our special guest today is Christaki Economopoulos. And the other host is walking in right now. What are you doing? Don't look at my garage.
Your garage is a mess.
It is a mess. I need it to be cleaned. No, no, are you normally back in? That was a quick park. Will you come in here and pick up your microphone so people can hang on your every word?
Hey, Jess. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
Hug it out.
We do match.
Now I'm in the vodka.
We're gonna stand here.
I'm in the vodka. No, we've got chairs. We can go out. We can go out on the deck. We can.
The deck looks like it's occupied.
They were so good.
Were they? And then I got here.
Christaki, weren't they so good? I did tell him. When you come over, they do kind of go extra nuts.
You were panicked about it, but it was fine for me.
We're talking about my puppy dogs who are here. Look at Ruby, how she looks. Just kind of stares at you. A 1,000-yard stare.
They are pretty girls.
They're pretty girls.
Mm. Chicky smells like vodka.
Chicky's having some vodka. See, this is only the second day of Christaki doing the
morning radio. Are you drinking vodka yet?
Oh, not yet.
I tried to talk him into a beer, and he said no. Something about after 12 noon or something.
I got to drive and nap, and, you know, I got things. If I didn't have to drive, I'd have a beer immediately.
Yeah.
I got extra beds.
Maybe I'll have a beer and...
And a nap here?
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
he has spare rooms.
Now that you mention it.
I have spare rooms. I got dog rooms. I got a whole full bottle of Belvedere. Soon to be Chick's Vodka.
Look, I do like the idea of drinking a beer out of this super cool, what do you call this team?
The Washington Americans. We have Killian's. We have...
Oh, have you had girls here?
No, that's Vibbert's.
Oh, okay then.
As far as you know, that's Vibbert.
Oh, as far as I know? Okay.
Have you had the bourbon barrel ale?
Oh, I have had that. I'll have that.
You'll have that?
Yeah.
I'll have that.
Are you going to have some of that whiskey over there?
What's the royal? Where's? Do you have whiskey?
No, that's Vibbert's too.
Good God.
Is that the maple?
Canadian Royal.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Here, let's get a church key here.
Talk me into a beer.
Why do they call that a church key? I don't.
Is that the, is it an ironic name?
No, but Chick can't say church. Why don't you just say beer opener?
You always say church key.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Don't you?
I thought a church, no, that's a skeleton key that opens a door, a house door.
Okay, here we go. Speaking Jess right off the bat.
No, I don't remember, but there's keys. Skeleton key?
I don't know that.
No? I thought that was just like that little key.
That is a skeleton key, yeah.
That you keep on top of your door to open your doors.
For the old time locks they used to have.
You know?
I think what you're saying, that's the nickname for a key that you put above the door? Or are you saying that kind of key?
That's what we called it, was a skeleton key. Like, where's the skeleton key? And my dad would just keep it. And that way, if we went to our rooms and locked our doors out of anger, like, he would just open it and be like, see?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. I've heard of that.
All right. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I used to live in an old hotel. You know that. It was on the National Historical Registry.
Oh, and...
And they didn't know it was supposed to
Great
be...
Great Britain, Ohio.
London.
Whatever.
Until they tore it down and noticed one of the transoms. You know what a transom is? The window at the top of a door. There's like a door.
Like
and
a header?
A window.
Oh, no, the window. Gotcha.
So the window would open.
Yeah.
I am learning so much today.
Our front door.
I learned Keystone earlier.
Our front door had that, but it had been painted over, and they didn't think...
they didn't know it was there.
And it said like 1862 or
really?
Something. Yeah.
What's the name of that again?
A transom.
A transom.
That's what?
Chick's good with words.
I've never heard that.
My white trash background. Have you heard of this? A mango? You know what a mango is?
Delicious fruit from Brazil.
Yeah, fruit.
Nope.
No.
It's a green pepper.
What?
White trash people call green peppers mangoes.
That's not true.
That I've never
heard of. Is absolutely the truth.
You don't have to say white trash people. You can just say your family.
Well,
you're right. Why drag all the other people, white trash people, in with me? Like, you're right.
My family does weird things. Like,
you've never done the mango thing for green peppers?
When I say palette, what do you guys think?
Two things.
Okay.
Either sodding the yard.
Okay.
Another pallet of sod. We got to get in here.
Okay.
Okay.
To
yeah, we got to move
yard.
This. Let's get it
okay.
in here.
Get
okay.
that pallet in here.
And right. Then?
Or the roof of your mouth.
Oh.
Oh, now see, I think of three things now. I forgot about the roof of your mouth.
Okay, what all do right. you do?
What's the
pallet,
one?
Roof of your mouth, pallet with a fork truck or
yeah,
tow
yeah,
motor.
Yeah, pallet, yeah.
Or
to help lift things.
Right.
Or a blanket
yeah.
or a cushion on the floor and make you kids a pallet. You
have
can
you
sleep
ever
on
heard
the floor
that?
Tonight.
No,
okay,
I never heard
see,
that.
Yep, see,
so
we
I
had
said that.
That.
We've said that my whole life. It was always.
I'm from Georgia. I never heard that.
You never heard that. A pallet is where you put a blanket on the floor and then you bring your pillows and like make a pallet on the floor. We're going to watch a movie.
Yep.
Or we're having friends over, make them a pallet on the floor.
But is that a reference to the forklift kind of pallet? Because it's the
I
same sort of shape.
I assume so, yeah.
There, I'm.
I never heard that.
I didn't know they called those pallets until I worked at a foundry.
Wow.
The wood pallet?
The wood pallet. I thought they were, you guys, they go, we need four or five pallets in the next 2 or 3 hours. And I'm
you
like,
guys sleeping?
We're going to take some naps.
This
is going to be good.
Funny.
We're going to get some napping in. We play euchre during lunch, and then we're going to have some naps.
Is this a union gig?
It was a union gig.
There
I just got into the union before I broke my toe, and the union got me $1,600 because I broke my toe.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good
I'm pro-union, baby.
Yeah, that's the way they get you.
And I broke my – I dropped a steel casting. I was a wheelabrator operator.
Oh, what?
That means you take the rough
– That wheelabrator, that's not real.
Wheelabrator operator.
Wheelabrator operator.
Wheelabrator operator. It looked like a giant.
That first braider.
It looked like about half the size of this room, and I live in a shitty small house. Half the size of this room, and you would set these castings right out of the molds in the foundry, parts of an elevator, and you would sit them on the turntable, and the turntable would spin, and you'd lock the doors. And because this is the crowd I've waited for. No, you'd lock the doors, and then metal shot would bombard these castings and smooth them over. Until they would go to the finishers that would get the grinders out and really start to finish.
Metal shock, like buckshot?
Like buckshot, yeah, like metal, tiny little metal balls. They would be bombarded and it would smooth
from
off.
From the ceiling? This is a room where they did this all the time?
Well, it was a circular and then you would shut the door and it would be encased and then it would be pelted on all sides by this shot that would smooth off the case. And that was my job, to lift these things with this little hook and little box I had.
Holy shit.
And I would lift the case, the castings up on the table.
Wow.
And one time I dropped a piece of the elevator on my toe, and I was wearing steel-toed shoes, but the doctor said it was like a croquet ball. It hit my steel-toed shoe, then my toe absorbed all the...
Right.
And it broke my toe.
Wow.
And then I got $1,600 from the union.
I'm not going to be offended that the dishes that I've purchased for you are up above there, that they don't ever get used.
Where are the black ones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
Is that what you've been looking for?
Yeah.
Quietly searching for the Jameson.
It gives us a chance once again to thank...
Jameson cup, glasses?
It gives us a chance once again to thank one of our most loyal off-the-air listeners, Marty Hand. Mm-hmm. He sent Jess and I these... What are those?
Chick's been holding them hostage.
Yeah, I know Marty Hand. I've exchanged some tweets with Marty Hand.
Oh, yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
Bottles of Jameson, and she just found. You should have asked. I would have told you where they were.
Well, you were telling that interesting story, and I didn't want to interrupt.
No, all right.
Do you know what a keystone is? I learned this today.
I didn't know what a keystone
is. It's not a beer. It's not a road.
I thought it was a delicious beer at an affordable price.
It is that too,
and a road.
But originally, it's a rug?
It's a road here. Road.
Oh,
road,
Keystone.
The street,
yes.
Keystone
it's
Avenue.
It's also a crossing.
It is a crossing, and it's a mall. And
are you
going to
need some ice for that, or are you just going to pour it in the glass?
I don't know yet. We'll see how it
okay.
goes. What is a keystone? I don't know.
It's when you build an arch, it's the sort of V-shaped stone at the top that allows it to sort of all sit together and hold that shape.
That's a keystone.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Morning.
It's a linchpin.
Did Tom tell you guys that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a linchpin of the arch. And you know, the arch is the only form where the more pressure you put on it, the stronger it gets.
Ooh.
Mm.
I could be
infotainment all around.
I'm kind of the as Chick people knows. Go, I'm the arch. Because right. The more pressure you put on me, the stronger I get.
Is that true?
That doesn't sound true.
No.
Some motivational speaker, I'm going to turn my TV on in a couple of weeks, and they're going to do this. We call this the archway to personal growth. The more pressure you put on yourself, the stronger you get. You
I like
wait
it.
And see.
I like it.
They're going to listen to this podcast and steal my idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you should have gotten
that's the Tom Griswold.
Oh, yeah. You should have gotten that pop of the cork on.
I can
on
do it
the,
again if you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do it again. Nice.
Can I just say, by the way, that I had the opposite experience walking in, because I live in New York City, and when I saw this garage, I was like, this is so great.
Oh.
All the lawnmower and all the outdoor stuff?
Yes, I have none of these things.
I was kind of curious about that, what it's like to be, like how different living
it's
style
so
is.
It's so different.
Yeah.
And I kind of, now that I'm there for a while, I've grown into it, and I really like New York, and
yeah.
If I didn't live there someday, I would really miss it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a suburban kid. This
that's
is
what
the
say,
kind
that's
of
where
garage
you grew,
that
you
I'm
grew
used
up.
To.
Yeah.
Then when I saw a lawnmower, I was like, oh. Oh,
yeah.
He's got a real yard, like yeah. A real life. It just
yeah,
seems grown
teeny
up.
Tiny, but yeah, I edge and I.
You have
kill
more than
weeds.
One edger.
The one of them is it. We had an argument, that edger and I, and it won, so it's in timeout. And I went and bought another edger.
When it comes to anything like things like that, let's say vacuum sweepers, edgers, things. Chick just has this tendency to just pound on it until it does what it wants, and then if it doesn't, he just goes and buys another
one. I made
one.
Her laugh the hardest, I think. Am I right on this?
Oh,
the
yeah,
hardest
absolutely.
You've ever laughed before or since.
Yeah.
We had one of those Dyson vacuum cleaners,
oh,
and
yeah.
They're made so you can take them apart and replace the
and
belts.
You, yeah, and you
can stuff.
Wash them. And
you can wash
and,
them. You
yeah,
can clean out the, so
the filter,
I,
all that
so
stuff.
She was using it one day, and it because she's the woman, and she should vacuum. And so it broke, so I was supposed to fix it. So at one point, I couldn't get the bottom of it off, so I just had it in front of me, and I was just beating on the bottom of it,
I swear at some point while I was in college in a psych class, like there was some, I don't even know what it was, but there were monkeys that were like putting the shapes in the box and the, you know what I mean, the shapes in the holes.
Yes.
And that's what he looked like. He was just like, like... Just dip and
round
and it,
pegs,
and, yeah, and it went on
at me
so
and then,
long.
And I started and laughing.
I just fell over. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
I have that. I have that too. I don't want to.
The things, yeah.
What my house needs is a husband. I would love to have a husband in the home.
My dad always said, "I'm going to make." My dad was husband, wife, mother.
Your
father,
dad makes pies.
Does all the things. Yeah, and he said, whenever he would be cooking a meal or preparing something for my brother and I, he'd always go, "I'm going to make somebody one hell of a wife someday."
That's hilarious.
And yeah, he did
see,
it all.
But the thing you have to realize is that if you start doing little household repairs, and the place I've arrived at is, let's say, light switches. Out and you need to replace the light switch. Well, in the course of repairing the light switch, you're going to break some other stuff.
Yeah, right.
So if you can repair
you,
all the stuff,
as in a general statement, or
me in general,
one
I think
Charles
I'm to
McGee
the point
personally.
I think I'm to the point in home repair where if I break something in trying to get the original repair made and make the repair, that to me is what you're supposed to be able to do.
That's impressive.
So far.
That you can do that at all. Is
I miss it. Yeah, I want to do more, but...
He would always do stuff around the house and say, I was like, can you fix this? Oh, yeah, I can fix it. I'm going to break some shit along the way, and it's going to take 48 hours, but I can...
Right.
We can totally do it. No
and
problem.
At least three trips
He was always so confident, though. But he was like, I wish you were that comfortable with the rest of your life as you are.
Confident,
with doing...
yeah. Well,
what did I say?
No.
Comfortable,
confident, and confident. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
And no, more comfortable. Like, you are comfortable with the process.
Yeah, see, I don't have that gear.
I really have accepted in that part of my life that, look, if I want to hang that door, I'm going to take that door down, and the trim's going to fail, or I'm going to put a hole in the wall, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He's really good at putting holes in stuff.
Yeah.
That to me would be like a giant mental block that I would put off for like a year and a half. Until it was absolutely, there
See,
was no way to live
like
here
there
anymore.
Was no door. Until there was no door is I'm going to replace
because
the door.
You know what it is for me? And I have the same thing with computer technology. What I fear is that I begin the process and I cannot solve it. And then I feel dumb and I hate that sensation so much that I just rather never do it ever.
Right.
That's I'm just going to keep doing things I'm smart at.
That's not a healthy sequence. Right. Yeah. Right. I'm going to do the things that I know I can succeed at.
See, this is one of the simplest things you can do. There are two simple things you can do around the house that people are, I think it, it, I don't want to say scare, but that's, it's, I want to say it's not imposing. It's, I've been drinking vodka. My point is you can exchange a toilet. You can switch out a toilet in 15 minutes. It really is incredibly simple. It really is. And you can change any, you don't have to call a locksmith to change a doorknob. Which is what I did on the back door there.
I think that is very, that is probably one of the biggest.
But that really looks daunting to some people. It's like, I can't change. But it took me three different knobs because they're
You purchased three different knobs?
Three different knobs, but I knew that going in, and thankfully that's the third one.
Was it three different trips? Or did you buy three knobs?
No, two. The first two I got from Amazon.
But do you, okay, so how do you feel about the process? So do you feel fulfilled by getting three knobs and going to the Home Depot and figuring it out?
Are you saying that I feel defeated when I get the first two knobs and they didn't fit? And
no, I'm trying to work through my own issues through your success. Like for me,
once you get it, I stare at that every day when I leave and I get, because the old one,
you're proud
I don't know if
it?
You remember it, but it stuck and it really didn't turn right. And
I feel like
this
that.
And that.
I do, yeah.
But I look at that every morning and go, I replaced that knob. That
See, that's good.
Good.
That's worth something.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like jogging. Like the whole time I'm jogging in a constant state, in a loop in my brain, I'm just thinking, I wish this weren't happening. I wish I could stop. Why am I doing this?
Right.
And I have that with some of these sort of like, whatever, computer technology or household chores. It's just painful for me to do it. And it's so dumb. It's such like a mental block. There's no reason to have that much angst about it. Just do it. Stop being such a wuss.
I tend to jump forward when I try to...
Yeah.
Do anything except what it is I do on the radio. I really, like, I skip steps and I want to get it finished. And the worst thing I can do is have.
Are you the one that said instructions are just another man's opinion?
That's right.
Okay.
And the worst thing that can happen to me if I'm making a repair is I have a little bit of success initially. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, I can really go fast on this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then that's what happened on this.
But also.
Back door
now.
Oh, you guys can hear the dogs barking.
Your attention to detail is...
For shit, is what I think the technical term,
It's not good.
That's true.
You get a little success early, and then you're screwed. I had that experience with Greek this summer. If you, I kind of knew this intellectually, but I saw it so many times this summer when I was in Greece. If you open with English and then sprinkle in a little Greek later, then they're like, he's trying. That's adorable. And they warm to you.
I like that.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm already wearing tennis shoes. I already look like a tourist. But if you open with Greek and I look Greek, then I'm fucked because they totally expect me to know Greek.
Right.
And I definitely do not know Greek.
Right.
Not enough for them to do the follow-up paragraph and for me to keep up.
For you to keep up.
Yeah. To lower the expectations. That's how
many times you've been to Greece?
You go all the time, don't you?
Well,
every year.
Yeah, we've been about every 2 or 3 years. Most of my existence.
Does your daughter love it?
Yeah, she really did.
That's
she
so
eats
cool.
octopus and squid. And
yeah, all that.
She's running around with the cousins and being in the water all day. You know, the beach and the pool and it's just like kid heaven.
Oh, I bet. I can't imagine.
Especially for a New York kid, because we don't really have a pool.
Exactly. It's like, I mean. It's
or outdoors.
Yeah. Buildings.
We kind of have
asphalt.
A beach. We can get on a train and go to a beach. We can get to Coney Island in about 70 minutes.
And you said you taught her how to ride a bike recently, right?
Yeah, she learned how to ride a bike like a week ago.
Roosevelt Park or whatever?
Yeah, Riverside Park.
That's awesome.
She was slow to it because she didn't like the process. She just was so not interested in the bike for a couple of for most kids would be like key years. She just was not having it. And this year, for whatever reason, she got excited about it and figured it out. And it's like, it's really fun to watch.
How old is she?
Six, almost seven.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. She learned how to swim this year too. It was a big year.
That is a big year. That's a lot of stuff.
It is. Yeah, it is. Those are like the, if you had to pick two iconic kid moments, they were within about
when
the same month.
I would say.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's fun.
That is fun. I remember I learned to dive one summer. at the
lake. Put your hands over
at
your head and lean, fall forward.
The, yeah, do the whole thing. I mean, and just jump off the end of the dock and jump into the water. And then we sold our lake house and didn't go to the lake for a summer. And then the following summer after that, so 2 years, I forgot how to dive until this day. And I think I was 12, and I still don't know how to dive. I forgot how to do it, and now I'm scared to death. I don't know. I don't know if I'm scared, but there's something where whenever I throw my hands out in front of my head, I immediately want to throw my foot out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this seems safe. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
It's an adult
I don't know how, yeah. Especially girls, keep their bathing suits on when they dive.
I've right. Always,
what?
Especially yeah. The bottoms. I mean, I guess mostly the bottoms. I understand the top would stay on because you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, I there's not that much lose mine.
One piece. I just maybe that's why I don't dive. Maybe there's a block somewhere that I lost my suit.
I think it's fear of a rock under the water.
I think it is. Yeah, I must have like clocked myself or something.
Used to
I don't
care
know.
About that. Now I think about it all the time.
Yeah, you think about that.
This beer is awesome.
I just read an article about Brooke Burke. She dove into a pool and broke her neck.
Really?
Yeah, and it's been like years of rehab. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, she hit the bottom with her head probably, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I saw her on a hike. She is...
She's beautiful.
She really is.
Yeah. Do you remember that show she did?
And weirdly tall. Like, she's like kind of model-ish.
Like you go, oh, shit.
Kind of
yeah.
What you've imagined in
really?
Your mind's yeah. eye. Yeah.
Jess is...
I'm oddly short.
Fearful of tall women.
I'm not fearful. I just...
Don't you want to just climb up them?
Well, if I were a guy, I probably would, or a lesbian, but I'm not. I am always, I just feel inferior.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not, it's
I
not
used
1820
to.
Where you're
no,
measured by how many bales of hay you can throw or whatever.
Well, I'm sure I'm stronger than them, but.
Her core is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I always felt that way. I don't know. Maybe it's something because my dad's always like, marry someone tall, reproduce with someone tall. We got to get this short stuff out, you know?
He
was just like he made it sound like it was bad,
right,
I guess.
Right.
And so in my brain, I thought it was bad, but now it's just, I don't know. It's hard to, I feel like it's hard to be a curvy, short woman.
Really?
Yeah.
I married one. I like him.
You love it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've
I'm a fan. I got to tell you.
I guess, let's say among women. Does that sound more like you feel, I just feel like
well, that's
it's,
always been, I mean, women.
To be curvy and to be short, like,
as much
can
as
I
the,
be petite and short and
the
not.
The feminist movement and now and I am, no one treats another woman worse.
Than another woman.
Than another woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, women are mm-hmm. horrible to each other. I mean, guys are bad to each other too, but I don't think it's.
Unfortunately, the most I ever experienced.
Mean spirited as a woman.
Yeah,
maybe.
Experienced
I don't
that
know.
was in a Virginia Woolf class. We read like five of her books and whatever.
Women's
we were talking
studies,
about it.
Right?
Women. It was a women's studies class. Yeah, but the women that I was in there with, when they realized I was married at the time and had children, were like. Like, you can't be a feminist.
Oh,
like,
right.
You've reproduced and you've...
You did it
you've
the old-fashioned way.
Right. You've had penis. You're out. Yeah, you're not...
you've had
yeah, you
filthy,
can't...
Filthy, dirty
you're not allowed
penis.
To be
you should
yeah,
try some penis.
Just,
it's nice.
Yeah, just, you guys just try it. It's not terrible. There's lots of them. You try different ones.
Mom said to try everything.
At least once. No, all but right. I... But in the same breath, I'd also... I was flirted with and just felt like... I think that it's so I guess it's both ways. Like I've been flirted with by the same sex and have never felt more beautiful.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it's just
I've had that a couple times.
Yeah, and you're just like, "Huh." Oh,
what do you mean? Oh. Gay guy hit on you? Is that what happened?
It still lingers with me for all these years when I was I want to say 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a situation with a woman who was like super gay friendly and we wound up at a thing and I'm in a gay bar in Florida, and man, I was like the king of the world yeah. in that place.
Yeah.
Everybody in there wanted to fuck me, and I never had that experience ever before or since. And I thought, how different would my life be if I wandered around like this all the time? It's so crazy. It totally changes your perspective about the world.
It does. You know what? And that's interesting because we've had this conversation too, that my father, as a single father... With a teenage daughter, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? How do you prepare them? And my dad used a fear tactic for sure. And also that, and maybe it made me have to prove myself more somewhere else, but I was just like, look, every guy you're ever going to meet is going to think about sleeping with you. Like, that's how it's going to go for the rest of your life. And then I equated that with my worth. Like, well, I'm only, like, that's all they want me for. And I think that messed with me too a little bit. So I'm working through some things, but.
Well, you got to separate that out, right?
I do. Yeah. It's the same in my mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my mind, it kind of is like, well, you know, my dad beat me, so I beat my kids. Well, my dad told me this, so I don't get to live this for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I have to grow out of it.
Right.
And so that's where I am now, where it's like, yeah, he said that, but if I was a single father in that time, I don't know what I would have done. That would have been really hard.
Yeah, right. Now I'm thinking, like, I got to face that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you do.
I think it's almost, not to oversimplify it, but it's almost like, it's chemicals. Like, people with testosterone in their blood are a little bit crazy, and that's not, don't take that personally.
Right. I think that would have probably been a better way to approach it with the kind of the science behind it and not so much, not make it so emotional.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe that was probably the way to go. But yeah, I'm in that boat now. My son is 12 and he looks like he's 17. He's huge. Mustache and I mean,
oh, really?
All the stuff. Yeah.
So people expect more from him and he's not there yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very fortunate in that he, like his emotional intelligence is just off the charts.
Oh, wow.
Off the charts.
Well,
he's
kudos,
so
Mom.
Empathetic. And yeah, I'm very, very fortunate that he's such a great kid.
That ain't luck.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I had somebody tell me that, you know, like, oh my God, your kid's 12. Every 12-year-old boy I've ever met's been an asshole. Like, good job. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think I was preparing for that because I hated boys at that age. Like, I was like, you're all awful.
Really?
Yeah, all boys that age were awful. But it's so different having to deal with that male, like
right.
telling him. And especially with the internet, like I've talked about this before, but the internet and having a son and all of that and saying, hey, by the way, you know, that pretty girl you just looked at online,
yeah.
She's somebody's daughter and she's somebody's sister.
Right.
And you have to, she is not here for your pleasure. You know what I mean?
Well, it seems like she.
Well, it seems like she. But like I told him,
it's readily available. I know
she was here.
I'm a very always and never kind of person, especially like when I'm trying to drive a point home. You know what I mean? And so, like I told Max the other day that it's you know women aren't here for your. And I was like, you know what? You're in sixth grade. Go kiss a girl, touch a boob, do something. I'd rather you do that on the playground than. And he was like, on the playground? What the hell are you talking about? He's like, stop. And I was like, you know what I mean. Like, I just want you to. I would rather you, like, talk to girls than look at girls on. Like, do it. Like, just, you know what? If you come home and you're like, I like this girl and she laughs at my jokes and, you know. And I got to kiss her, I'd be like, high five.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't want him to think that those urges are dirty or bad.
Right.
That's where it was different with me, where it was like, oh, no, that's terrible. Get away from it. That's all you're good for. Oh, well, okay.
Well, I've always said everyone should have to wait tables for a short time because once you do that, you're nicer to wait staff for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really think if there was any way to pull it off, trading genders for a week, for a summer, for a weekend.
Yeah.
It would be so good for all of us.
Trading
to just
roles
know
in
what
life.
It's like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Just, it's the, like
I would love to try it on.
Yeah. Like I told my kids, like, you know what? Why don't you stay home and I'll go to school today? Let's try that. And they're like, yes. And I was like, yeah, we should. Like, how awesome would that be? I would love to go to sixth grade for a day.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Outside of fractions, I'm in.
Well, common denominator. That's the key to fractions. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to remember. Mm-hmm. Common denominator. Right?
Yeah.
So I listened to this podcast.
You listened to our podcast?
I loved the one that you did. I cherry pick. I'll go through and I'm like, oh, I want to hear this guy. Mm-hmm. I want to hear this person.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But probably half of them that you've ever done, I've heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At least 35%.
For a friend to say that, I mean, I would consider you a friend.
Yeah.
That's huge, I think.
That's a big number.
That's more than Jess has listened to. I can tell you that. That's absolutely the truth.
But I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. I am.
Because you've been listening to...
Ryan Singer's podcast. I got really into that.
What's that?
Me and the Paranormal You. Do you know Ryan?
I've only just barely met him.
Okay.
He's the weirdest guy.
He's not. I get. Well,
that's a weird title.
Weirdest.
He's the sweetest.
That's
guy
an Art Bell kind of title.
He is. Yeah. He's just. And his catchphrase, or you know, like mission statement, almost for his podcast is because it's more fun to believe. And huh. I've always been to be fearful of anything paranormal or not of reality or whatever. And he kind of. He's just like, it's not that big of a deal.
So he tackles these subjects that are...
Yeah, just random people. People he knows, people he doesn't know, people that he's met at shows. Just all kinds of stuff. Like, he's done... they went on a Bigfoot hunt. They went to a haunted house. They talk about being, like, empaths.
All right.
They talk about psychic abilities and... I think they do... what is it? I always want to say like patchouli, Patagonia. It's neither of those things. It couldn't be further from either one.
Aromatherapy?
No, it's the tea. It's the
the what?
It's the tea. You drink the tea. Paoli. Paoli. No.
Paoli peaks. Paoli peaks is where you ski. Peyote is the things that Indians take.
Peyote. Yeah, and it takes you on a vision quest.
Right.
Yeah. Just, I mean, all over. Just, okay. it's just
I'll
something.
Give that a shot.
Yeah, it's just something you don't get to listen to, especially with him. He claims that he's like, I have no abilities. I have no paranormal abilities. I haven't seen anything. Nothing huge has happened to me. But he's been around people that pretty big things have happened. Like he dated a shapeshifter. I know. Just random.
I listened to that episode.
You did?
Yeah.
Just some very, very random.
And my problem, here's a little snapshot of who I am. Mm-hmm. My problem on that episode wasn't that he dated a shapeshifter. It was the way the shapeshifter spoke.
She's not the shapeshifter.
That's not the shapeshifter.
He talks about it, but that's not her. She's somebody else.
Because someone he talked to finished every sentence like this, and every time she would answer a question... She would go up at the end of her sentence.
That's Canadian.
I don't know what it is, but it's irritating.
Canadians do that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They say sentences that sound like questions.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I went to the mall, I got myself a shirt.
And you go to dinner. Did you?
I'm going to go to dinner.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. This is terrible, and I know you hate the word fart, but I have to say this. Max
did you just
that
fart?
Max did the other day, and he goes, that sounded like a question. Did you hear it? It went, And I was like, you are the most awesome 12-year-old. I laughed so hard.
That he's that dialed into the sounds of language.
He's that dialed into everything.
We went
to
the football game to watch his sister cheer the Colts game the other night. And he had the biggest, I don't know what it was. I want to say it was a Cinnabon, but it was nuggets.
Just food. Oh, yeah.
But it was like. 14 of them.
They're like pretzel nuggets that have cinnamon and sugar on top.
Yeah, cinnamon and sugar and
yeah, they're delicious.
More cinnamon, more sugar, and mm-hmm. he just...
That sounds great.
Just putting them away, man.
That's what he said to me today. He goes, so what's type 1 diabetes? And I said, what? He goes, what's type 1 diabetes? Like where
I type 1's you're born
He goes,
right?
He goes, because I crave sugar, so I think I'm a diabetic. And I was like, bub, I don't think that's that is.
Type 2 is what he's got a hold of there, I think.
Everyone wants a big Cinnabon. That's not diabetes.
No, but he comes home, he's like, I just need sugar. I need sugar. And I'm like, I don't think that makes you a diabetic.
So my point is that I listened to you guys.
Oh, sorry,
was
yes.
The Indy 500 where you're just hammered and
hammer
wandering
time,
around?
Just wandering
I don't
around
know
the track.
If we were hammered.
Oh, we
no,
were.
No, you were hammered.
Okay, we were hammered. We were doing shots with.
That's what I was going to say. It was really fun.
We met a listener. We met one of the OTA holes.
Seth Hooker.
In the infield. Seth.
No
Seth,
related.
Seth Hooker. Mm-hmm. And
but you were like clearly like. We were having a drink.
Clearly.
But you were clearly drunk. No. Like you were slurring and giggling.
It was a good kind of drunk though because we did it gradually.
And it was super upbeat and playful and fun. I was going to recommend that at least once a year you do one of
we
those.
We do a drunk. We do a drunk cast.
We like doing the drunk cast.
That's
not really, unlike today.
You might not be able to pull that off in other media, but that's the beauty of a podcast.
That's the beauty of the podcast.
It is.
You can be drunk and host a podcast.
Yeah. That was fun. I liked it. I had a great time.
Did it require more editing or something? I guess it would.
We edit out people that we talked to that we thought were hilarious when we were there, and then we listened to it and we're like, oh, they're not funny at all.
Yeah, because we were drunk. Yeah.
Well, that happened.
That's good.
Yeah, I tend to be a lot nicer when I'm drinking than when I'm not drinking. So,
I wouldn't say nicer. I'd just say more accepting of
a
situation.
Don't you have the fall off the cliff thing where you're like, goodbye?
He did that on our poker podcast.
Or that's not related to drinking.
I did not know. I thought the term blackout was you passed out. I thought blackout and pass out were the same thing.
No, blackout's when you're still wandering through life. You just
blackout
don't remember
is still
it.
That you would give every appearance that you're participating in society, and you have no idea what you're doing. Yeah, that's what a blackout is. Pass out is you fall asleep and you don't hurt anybody.
Pass out's arguably safer.
Did you do that at
ours?
Blackout is
our friend Mort. No, yeah, you can sit.
I'll sit. I like
our friend Maury's birthday party. Did you blackout there?
I did. You can sit wherever you'd like.
Can I squeeze in there? And it's not going to happen.
Well, no. Why don't you just sit here and not make any fucking trouble? How about that? And you sit over here. You want to sit on the bench?
All
right. Okay. You're going to go cop a squat? All right.
Oh, I want to sit in the couch. I'm a pain in the ass. She wants to sit in the couch. You move the table. That's what's happening here?
Well, that's pretty much is the dynamic of whatever she wants, that's very cool.
I understand.
You know, the podcast is an opportunity for me to talk to her at least once a week.
Well, I'm glad that works out.
I'm crazy like a fox. Will you dogs lay down? Lay down. Lay down. Monkey.
Maybe you could do a series where you get hammered at different events and do like maybe...
You like me when I'm drunk is what I'm hearing.
No, I'm saying the podcast, it was a different version of you guys, which I think would be nice to have one every 10 or so. Just as like an interstitial kind of... might not be the right word.
I would not be opposed to that. And actually, this this podcast is closing in on... because I've had very little to eat today. And it's almost noon and I've had two vodka drinks. So we might be close to what you're after there.
Yeah, but you Kostaki. Guys.
I almost called you Scott. Okay, there. Did that tell you anything?
I've answered to Scott before.
I said, I was at a Starbucks one time. Name, please. And I said, instead of Chick, I said Chuck. And the lady goes, Doug? And I said, yes. My name is Doug.
I've come to that, too. I just give up and say Chris.
Whatever you... But then you have to remember... the fake name that you've given them.
Because I learned the hard way. One time I went the other direction. I was with like 15 people. It was after something with a bunch of buddies. And we go to Fuddruckers.
Right.
I was the second one out of 15. Right. Put my order in. Go, what's your name? I don't know why. I said, Rumpelstiltskin.
Very nice.
Everyone had eaten before I got my order. Like, whoever worked there was like, you know what? Fuck
nice.
That guy.
Nice.
Let's everyone's see, with a name like
Rumpelstiltskin,
they know you're messing with them, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Spent my whole life funny.
Being Kostaki, I thought, well, what if it was even more so?
You do that at Starbucks. Is that what you guys were talking about?
I said, how that happened, well, I tweeted that I said, I put down Chick, but I actually told her my name was Chuck. So it makes more sense when I said Chuck. She thought I said Doug. That sound. Chuck, Doug.
I feel like you've said Doug before to be funny.
No, but I've gone to Doug now. If I go to Panera or any place.
You just say Doug?
I just say Doug.
Doug?
Doug.
Doug and Chuck are my two least favorite male names.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that.
I go with Chris. My dad.
Least favorite male name. Go.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say mailman. I was like, how many mailmans have you had?
Todd?
Todd?
Todd, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Todd,
I
yeah.
I like
some Todds
that.
I didn't care for. Maybe that's
And that seems
not
like that's associated with a very douchey it is a character.
Sometimes. Okay, yeah. Todd.
Todd.
Tom. Tom was probably my least favorite.
That's not true.
I'm kidding.
My dad, super thick Greek accent to the point where he's a sociology professor. Like, he would have several drops after the first class, like really thick accent. Mm-hmm. And he gave up.
What is he a professor of?
He taught sociology.
No shit.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
No
good
wonder
teacher.
When I talk to you, it's like, it's not like talking to any of.
No, it's not a real conversation.
The
comedian there's some
friends.
Light anthropology
there's,
happening.
No, yes. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of this. What's that like?
Yeah. I'm
how
curious.
Do you feel about that?
I'm curious about how things work.
When he walked in
but
here
he's
today,
very good at making it conversational where you're like, mm-hmm. oh, he asked me questions and he didn't just wait for his turn to talk. Like, he's very good at,
this is
at conversing.
Time. You've never been to any of the houses I've lived in.
I've never. No, this is a real eye-opening week. I met.
He walked in and he goes, oh, domestic chick. Okay.
Isn't
all right.
it weird?
Yeah, I've never seen this.
It's so strange. I couldn't imagine.
Why is it strange?
Because when you guys said you were going to Christie's house, I thought, oh, I wonder what it's like to go to Christie's house.
I was wondering that too.
And
now,
to
we've
like,
been robbed of that.
For her to prepare a meal. And that's just so
right.
It's no picnic,
person.
Let me tell you.
I've
been there one
cook.
Time.
You've been there for a meal before?
Not for a meal, no.
Oh, you went there during like a little baby like breakdown.
No, that's not true. No, I did not go there for that. Mm-mm.
No, you were there. I don't think you went there, but you ended up there.
Oh, well, that was the guy she was seeing. That was.
Oh, that's right.
Never mind.
Sorry.
Anyway, my point is, see, this is an edit point.
I had
my point is,
I had a point
and
too. I forgot
edit.
What it was.
Oh,
that's what I was curious about. That I was thinking about
my
that
dad.
Today.
Greek accent.
My
yes.
dad, super
yeah.
thick accent.
You do an impression, I'm sure.
Kostaki, telephone! Like, really thick accent. So, he caved and he went by Mr. Potter for pizza and dry cleaning and whatever.
Just
and
Potter.
Yeah, because my mom's maiden name.
Oh.
So he just went, and he would, like, he would call and, you know, he had a little Asian dry cleaner and he would say, is this Mr. Potter? You know, it's just hilarious that he just picked this, the whitest name ever.
The waspy whitey. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the, what is the tradition in naming your son in the Greek culture? Because I grew up with my friend Petros Papageorge, and his father's from Greece.
It's there's a, there are guidelines, right?
First son's named after the father's father.
Okay.
So my paternal grandfather was Konstantinos, so
okay.
I'm Konstantinos.
Okay.
Second son is named after the mother's father.
Okay.
In this case, it was Andrew, so my family Greeked it up and made it Andreas.
Andreas.
That's my brother.
Okay. Like it.
And then the first daughter is named after the father's mother.
Okay.
So it would have been Artemis if we didn't have a...
I was going to say there wasn't a daughter, was there?
We didn't have
there?
A sister in our,
no.
in our family.
We met your brother once. Do you remember meeting his brother?
I do for like 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. He was at the show one morning,
yeah,
right?
He, I forget.
Yeah, he came how in real quick. Why,
oh, he
was
came
there
in the
one
morning?
Day.
Yeah,
I met him
I
at a comedy show.
I did not see him at a comedy show.
I
oh,
did.
Was this the mm-hmm. infamous Bloomington comedy show?
No.
Mm-mm. With the fist fight and the brawl in the street?
No, Kostaki was there for that, but his brother wasn't. Yeah.
He's a good kid. He's,
yeah.
Yeah, I like
But I was just surprised that you guys didn't look more alike.
Oh, we look... no one would ever think we were brothers,
mm-mm.
ever.
Absolutely not.
He's got fair skin and blue mm-hmm. eyes. And,
yep.
So your mom's obviously...
tiny little nose mm-hmm. and...
So your mom's as far away from Greek as you could get?
Yeah, mom's like daughters of the American Revolution, like... Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh steel workers. And,
oh,
I know
wow.
I've asked you this before, but yeah. why don't you have a Southern accent growing up in Georgia?
You know, I would say 30% of my friends have Southern accents. So Atlanta's not that
it's,
super
yeah, I could
Southern
see where that
in terms
would be
of
true.
Accents anyway. Mm-hmm. People are from everywhere.
Okay.
Plus my mom's from Pennsylvania / Florida and my dad's from Kalamata.
Right.
So, but I, most
so
of
you could
friends,
have like the thickest Greek accent or no accent at all.
Yeah,
with your parents.
I have a couple of friends who have very Southern accents. Smart dudes. One's
right.
a lawyer. One's a writer.
Right.
But really Southern accents. But most of my friends don't.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's. But it, what's so the funny thing is that you and Tim Wilson grew up how many miles away from each other?
It's hard to believe.
Kostaki?
It can't be the same country, right?
No, but it is. Isn't that crazy? I want to say 100 miles?
Yeah, about 100 miles. He was Columbus, Georgia, and I was Marietta, Georgia.
That's that's one that if I think about that, that makes me smile.
It's crazy. Yeah. I hear his voice in my head a lot of times. He said something to me that I think about at least once a week for my whole career.
A day for me, but go ahead.
He was a big headliner, and I was just a kid trying to figure out how to be a comic, and I was badgering him one time after a show for advice, and he goes, "Well, you better enjoy that drive to Chattanooga, because that's what comedy is." It's like, it's such a weird, heavy Zen idea of just enjoy the ride of whatever the process is. And that sentence more than anything else has helped me enjoy all the bumps and craziness.
Unless you've traveled too and you've done this whole comedy thing, like you wouldn't, like that makes so much sense. But if someone who has worked in a bank their whole life just listened to you say that, they go, what the fuck did he just say?
I know.
But,
Bob Zaney said they don't pay you to be on stage. They pay you to travel.
Right.
It's true. That hour and a half or however long.
Did Bob Zaney say that?
Bob Zaney. Well, I don't know where Bob got it, but.
Oh, I didn't know.
And that literally works out that way. If you do a set in New York City that I could walk to, it's $25.
Right.
And if I do one in Boise, it's $2,000. Like,
right.
It literally is
true. That's true.
True.
Right. That's absolutely true.
The farther
true.
You travel, the more money
they
you get.
They literally pay you to go do the show somewhere else. Near your house, it's free.
That's
you know?
Crazy. How did your parents meet?
They met at a mixer for foreign students at FSU.
Florida State University?
Yeah, my dad got a Fulbright scholarship and went to Tallahassee to get his master's degree. And my mom was like a bright-eyed Florida girl.
Yeah.
And she went to a thing and had ice cream. And my dad was there with his one leg and his thick accent.
Your dad had one leg?
Yeah.
How come?
He was involved with an accident in like war-torn Greece when he was a boy.
Really?
Yeah. This is a beautiful story. You never heard the story?
I didn't hear that. No. Never heard
this story.
Here's
my dad's story. When he was 7 years old, people forget like the Nazis occupied Greece. There's a picture of a swastika flying from the Acropolis. Like they messed that country up. And then America did a lot to help save Greece, you know, in the aftermath of all that. But
darn right we did.
So Greece was a mess.
You were very involved.
War-torn, post-war Greece was a disaster. And some kid at school found like a ordnance that had, some bomb that hadn't and was messing around with it and it blew up. And three kids were injured, like seriously injured.
Yeah.
And they only had enough penicillin to save one of them by medical standards.
Oh my God.
And they split it and hoped for the best, and they all three survived. And my dad was one of those kids.
Holy shitballs.
Pretty cool story, right?
This is like,
goosebumps.
This is a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that kid eventually, he went to Wales when he was a teenager. There was a Greek benefactor who was a rich Greek who lived in Wales, and he was taking in Greek kids who had serious injuries. And my dad went and lived in Wales for a year at this guy's home, and there were some other Greek kids who also lived there, and he was trying to figure out, he was kind of growing into an age when it was time to get a prosthetic limb for, And he lived in this home with another friend of his named Mitsigas who had lost the other leg. And they would literally like buy a pair of shoes and share them. And they had all these inside jokes and they were practicing with crutches and trying to figure out, So years later, Mitsigas moved to Perth, lived in Australia.
Okay.
And my dad ended up going to the States, and they would still call each other every year for their name days and stuff. And after my dad passed away, I was the one who had to call Mitsigas and talk to him. And that was actually the one thing that I gained from my dad's death. It was like, I've always wanted to go to Australia. Mm-hmm. I could be dead tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking going to Australia. Mm-hmm. And we packed up our stuff. My girlfriend at the time, we went backpacking across Australia.
Wow.
And we looked up Mitsigas. And it was so funny. We figured out a time and a place to meet Mitsigas. And he goes, oh, I've never always wanted Economopolis to come. I didn't know it'd be you. Like, man, dad never made it to Australia. And he goes, well, how will I know? How will we find each other? And I go, Mitsigas, you're 63, you're Greek, and you have one leg. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to find you. Sure enough, the boat pulls up on the dock at this time and place, and I see a guy. It's like, it was like haunting to see a guy my dad's age and vague look limping across the dock. Yeah. Like, ah, there he is.
There he is.
It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a...
I'm embarrassed that this is all
That's
I've done.
That's a great story.
This is all I've done with...
I have that, too.
A full body and...
I have that all
every
the time.
Advantage.
Really?
And
my dad got a PhD in his second language. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even get my head around that. Like,
are you fucking kidding me?
Grad school, like, destroyed me. It was so hard for me to survive, and it was in my native tongue. I can't imagine grad school in a different language.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of, like, trying to be that guy when I grow up someday. He was good at stuff. He sucked at, you know, he couldn't have a garage. He was the least...
He wouldn't mow the yard.
No, I had the funny. My family was the opposite. My mom did all the yard work and would come home late for dinner, and my dad would have dinner waiting, and he would do the laundry, and he would take his soccer practice, and then he would go to school and teach a sex roles class. And I was like, Dad, no one is less qualified to teach sex roles. You don't know shit about sex roles.
Oh wow.
So that's kind of
my
story.
I'm sure I've asked you this before, maybe on the last podcast. I don't know, but I still want to know the answer. Maybe I've forgotten. What with your background and your genetics, I mean, you don't seem, I mean, you're, what did I tell you the last time we worked together? There had never been, not that you weren't funny you've always been funny on stage.
Oh, it's a nice compliment, yeah.
But, I mean, you really fucking killed it and jumped up like 10 notches between.
That's
nice. It's like a year that I'd seen you the last time, and you had just, you know, obviously written a lot since the last time I saw you. What, given the background and the education and your genetics being Greek and what comes with that, why did, this sounds like a talk show question, and I don't want to.
Okay.
Why are you a comedian and not a philosophy professor?
You want another beer?
I want another beer.
Okay. Yeah, let's get another beer here. No, those are WeMac in there.
Where's the beer? Right here. Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
The beer. There we go.
Can I get a different one to mix it up?
Oh, yeah.
There's a
this
Killian's?
Is awesome, in
we
fact.
We got Killian's. We got Coors Light. We got a Red's Apple Ale.
What's this
you
one?
You want a Red's Apple
Ale?
Yeah,
I do want that.
Oh, a Guinness.
Here, give him the one with it. Oh, that might be a strawberry beer.
I'm okay with that.
That might be a leftover from a Bodart's visit.
It is a strawberry ale.
I don't think I've ever had that.
That's what Bodart drinks.
It's funny. I love that you're throwing all your friends under the bus with their girly drinks.
Now I have to. Yeah, yeah.
They're also all single.
Vibbert and the lime vodka and Bodart with the strawberry ale.
No, it was apple pie vodka.
I've never even seen this.
Oh, it was apple pie.
I've seen the Red's apple. I've never had a strawberry.
It tastes strawberry.
Oh, it's like Boone's Farm and Budweiser
Here.
Had a baby.
I want to taste that.
Yeah.
We pour it in there.
Yeah. That's
okay,
not
that's
bad.
That's awesome. Great.
That's
Thank
better
you.
Than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It smells like strawberry, doesn't it? So why aren't you a philosophy professor or
You know, my mom is a PhD too, so I...
Now, what is hers in?
Hers was in math education.
Holy shitballs.
I mean, in that era, that woman to get a math PhD, that was really rare.
She had to have been the only one, the only female.
That was a real outlier in that
era.
You know? I don't know. I just love comedy. I didn't want to do anything else. Just loved it enough to...
But what planted that seed? Is your mom or your dad funny?
My dad was funny. He was funny a lot by accident.
Right, not on purpose.
Because of the language barrier, you know? He used to say things, and we would just bust his balls for years. He once said, "Don't forget to take the garbage to the post office," meaning the mailbox. And to this day, it's 30 years later, we still say that.
Yeah.
Like, Mom, don't forget. Dad's not even alive anymore.
Right.
We're still like, "Don't forget to take the garbage to the post office."
That's funny.
So my dad was very funny.
See, don't you think that's what that all means when it's said that you'll have eternal life?
Yeah, I do.
Not to lurch forward in like a roller coaster, but that really just struck me when you said that because you still invoke your father's memories and what he did.
Oh, man,
and...
you're going to make me cry because my dad was so good at that. Greeks broadly are good at this, and my dad was particularly good at it. They're very comfortable with their own mortality. My dad used to talk about it, and he used to say it to me. He used to say, you know, someday I'll be gone. You'll still tell the stories about me. It was a part of his existence. Right. Like, he saw the world that way, and he did that mm-hmm. about his father. You know, we would joke about stories about his dad who was long gone, and I agree. I think that is part of what you try to do. You leave those stories and that kind of that sort of sweet essence. My dad grew up in a very macho kind of old world culture.
Oh yeah.
And he was one of the great feminists that I ever met. He was like a really thoughtful, sweet, and he was super, super capable of being loving openly in a way that doesn't always happen in a macho culture, you know?
Or even in this culture. In any culture, right.
Very much out of the
ordinary. Yeah, but especially for,
He was a very loving guy. So he left that, and that's a legacy, and my kid is getting that, and that's from him.
Sure.
And that's from his dad. His dad was that way.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a legacy that you can leave.
That's crazy. So.
I miss that old guy.
When did your dad pass?
He was 63. I got gypped, man.
Wow.
I thought I was going to have 20 more years.
You want to hear gypped?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yours was earlier.
Yeah, Chick was 21 when his dad died.
Ugh.
Yep, dad was 43.
Ugh. But that's gypped.
In this experience, and I'm fortunate both my parents are living, but I lost my grandparents young and didn't have that grandparent relationship. I just never, when people are like, oh my gosh, my grandparent, you know, my grandpa died or my grandma died, I'm like, I have no frame of reference. I don't even understand how that could affect your life. And I guess now more so I get it because of my kids. Like, what relationship my kids have with their grandparents.
Right.
So do you feel that, like, God, I wish that my daughter could have met.
Yes.
Oh, that would bother me way more than the relationship I have.
And it was, my dad died literally 3 weeks before 9/11.
And, oh, wow.
And I remember that clearly because when I flew back to Atlanta, it was the last time that someone met me at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
remember that.
Right. Yes.
Remember when someone would meet you at the gate?
They just right walk you gate. To the gate. No big deal.
Those days
are
over.
Later. Yeah.
Don't you feel like an old guy saying, they met me at the gate.
At the gate.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And that's the first thing my brother said.
Yeah.
Because my brother was married at the time, and he was crying, and he said, my kids are never going to meet him. That was the first thing that he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have that all the time.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine.
He trained his whole life to be a grandfather. You know, he was great at that. He was great with little kids. And he loved leisure time.
Right.
My dad was like counting down to retirement. And he spent 30 years teaching in the University of Georgia system. And he dropped dead like 4 months later.
Oh.
He retired.
Was it a heart condition? What happened?
He just dropped dead one night in the shower. He never had an issue.
Wow.
Life's fucking brutal, man.
Yeah.
Roddy Piper, did you see that?
You're an asshole.
No, he had a blood clot in his heart from like an earlier procedure or something, and it just went and boom.
There's so many like things like that.
Flipping a switch.
I saw The Ultimate Warrior on my senior spring break.
Now, there's a story.
At a CBS.
Let's hear more about
we're getting
that.
Somewhere.
The Ultimate Warrior. Yes. What happened then?
Well, we
Where
were intoxicated.
Was he? Like at a restaurant?
At a CBS.
You
saw
CBS The Ultimate Warrior at a CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And when was this?
And my girlfriend, I think it was my friend Melissa, she was like, that's The Ultimate Warrior. And I was like, no, it's not. He doesn't have anything hanging from his arms. That's
from his
not
arms
him.
And his face isn't painted.
Yeah. And I was like, no way. No way.
He was the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, but then the cashier told us, like, yeah, that's him. He comes in here all the time.
He lived there.
Oh, my God.
Where was this?
It was in Florida. I have no idea where.
The Ultimate Warrior lived in Florida?
We drove to Florida. I don't remember.
I can live with that. That makes sense to
me. That's what he says, Ultimate Warrior. No, if you were the Ultimate Warrior, where would you retire?
I just spent a great day, one of the best days ever with my daughter, a couple weeks ago. And she's really starting to, and I'm going to be selfish for a second, and I've always thought that she's going to come around and be the person that I know she can be, you know? And this last visit, but the thing that I get caught up in is like, oh God, I wish my dad were here to see,
right.
To see her, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's so, when she lets herself be, she's so cool and so
But we've had this conversation where
liquid and so stream of conscious and just
very naturally funny. Is
naturally,
what
she has all of my ex-wife and my good qualities.
Best qualities, right.
The best qualities we have, she's got them all. Mm-hmm. And she can just...
But there was a time when she turned about, I'm going to say 16 or 17, and you were like, oh my God, this.
I
and
can't
I was
stand
like,
to be
hey,
around her. I can't stand to be around
the
her.
The worst people on the planet are 16, 17, right. 18. I mean, until we're about 22, and then we mature a little. And then I know because I was her. Like, I made everyone else around me miserable
right.
just because I could, because I was a girl, and that's what I did. And it was probably because I was spoiled, and my dad paid attention to me. And you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, that's a part of it. Like, if I had any sense, I would have realized how fortunate I was. But, you know, my dad bought me a car and I went to a good school and I got accepted to a decent college. And so, the natural thing to do is to make everybody fucking miserable. And I think that's a part of the growing process.
Under the guise of you're being incredibly inconvenienced.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's always been Ellie's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you don't understand this up until this last visit. And all of a sudden, she's a wonderful young woman gliding through life. And
go ahead and tell him. What'd she say?
What are you talking about?
What did she say that you're so proud of?
Oh, so I'm sitting there. We're at, she goes to Columbia College of Chicago, which is like the way I like to explain it. And it's not that performance oriented, but it kind of is. It's like the Fame High School, only it's a college. And I've always thought she...
But there's a lot more of the management side and
right,
the business
side.
Right,
and she's always gone... She said, I want to be an agent or in entertainment or something like that. Well, this last visit... But like I said, she has all of...
She's too funny to be an agent.
Yeah, she has timing and she really wants to be on stage. I mean, I know she wants... I know these things, but I can't tell her that because if I do, that kind of becomes tainted. And that's, that's what my dad said.
He wants
her
to find her own
path,
yeah.
So I'm sitting there. We ordered drinks, but she didn't have any drink because she...
She was hungover.
She was hungover. had six
that
shots of tequila
me.
The night
that's
before.
Not where I thought that was going.
But, I mean, and this gets back to what you and I have talked about. I mean, she is hungover the next day, but she's not waiting to get hungover again.
No.
You know, I mean, she can do that and
she
then go
appreciates
for
it, and,
a
you
couple
know what?
Weeks and not drink
she's
at all.
She's 21 years old. Right. She should absolutely right. be hungover on Saturday.
So the reason she's hungover is a friend of hers had a birthday party at Second City in Chicago. So she tells me, and I'm sitting there trying not to go, oh, my God, that's incredible. So she's telling me, yeah, I went to Second City last night, Dad, and it was really cool. And I'm thinking of taking a class there. And I went.
He was like, my gut, like I was like, don't say anything. Oh, okay, whatever you want to do. Sure, that's fine.
Next
whatever,
to my
cool.
son being a defensive back for the Redskins, this would be. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And she goes, but the class, it costs, you know, it's like $300. And I'm like. You know what? I'm sure we'll, you know, once again, trying to be so like, you know, whatever.
I got $300.
That's fine. I'm like, here's $300 right now. Here. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I'm getting chills talking about it. And she's like, yeah, I might want to do that starting
I'm
January,
impressed with
February.
That self-control. That's something I'm going to struggle with, I think.
It's
you'd be surprised.
It's tough because I want her to do it because I know. And I don't want her to tell. I don't want to tell her. You're gonna mm-hmm. love this. You're gonna eat it like candy. You're gonna do it like people read English. You're gonna. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you do.
But you know, I hate to say it. I do hate to say it. I still do, and I'm 34 years old. But everything my dad has ever said
exactly.
has been true. And I know that sounds nuts, but it's absolutely true. Whatever he said eventually happened. Whether it took 10 years. Or it's going to take 10 years from now.
Or 30.
Any lesson that he's ever taught me in life
I love that.
Has been true.
As a dad, that's cool.
Has here. Been true.
No, there is something.
And there are times where he's told me, probably in the last 5 years, where he says, this is what's going to happen. You know, just plan accordingly. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I said that to him and in my mind went, fuck, I know he's going to be right. This is going to wreck everything. If I just did what he said and planned accordingly, I'd be fine. But he also says, you don't know, you know, until you experience it.
Well, and that's the thing. You can't tell. Like
no.
My son has been struggling and he's starting to find his way. but you can't, like, but my daughter has stepped in and goes, Dad, he's not going to be worth a shit till he's 27. And he's 23 or 24 right now. And but he's starting.
Who said that?
Ellie.
Ellie told you that?
He's starting to creep into, oh, okay. You know, but you don't want to go in and go,
right,
oh, this is really great. What you,
which
you
is also different for you because you don't have that brother-sister frame of reference.
I don't have any. I don't. And
which I told him, too, because my brother struggled with
I don't have any template
addiction.
As far as mothers and fathers go either, because I was very unconventional. My mom had me when she was 17. I mean, we were really brothers and sisters. We weren't.
Which that's
I was an only child.
And that's the age difference between me and my youngest sister. Is the difference between my mother and I is the age difference between my sister
really?
And I. Yeah. I have a sister who's much younger than me.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. A sister who my father raised but is not my father's biological daughter.
Gotcha.
If that tells you what kind of guy my dad is, he'd been divorced from my mother for years and then raised her youngest daughter.
And everything he says is like he has three children. He has...
Oh, my dad would never... No, my dad has four children.
Oh, four children.
Five children, if you really... I mean, my dad was born to be a father. Like, that's what he does.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
like,
great.
I wish that he would accept his path and know that that's what it is. But he's really, he's
a father and a grandfather.
He was born to be a father. Like he has fathered children that are his, that aren't his. He has two biological children, but I can't tell you how many times I've watched my dad have a teaching, learning experience with a child that he may not ever see again.
Yeah.
Like that was his life's.
That's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
And he's my real dad. So how fortunate am I?
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah.
That's great. See, I feel that way about my dad. It was just like I won that dad lottery.
Yeah,
you pick that. And, you know, parents are good at some things and not so good at other things. And it's all you try to take what you can from it. But that's an interesting lesson because I need to pay attention to that sort of self
That control.
That restraint.
Well, you have to let them.
You gotta let them be their own.
You
thing.
Let them give enough lot, you know, and they're gonna make mistakes, and they're gonna be hungover, and they're gonna be, but they're gonna.
Right.
What's the biggest? Like you said that your daughter's name is Ava.
Yeah.
Ava learned to ride a bicycle. She learned to swim this summer.
Yeah.
So what's been like an emotional, like a mental, like a psych lesson that you've experienced in the last year or so?
Something like, I tried to teach her, or were you...
Yeah, or that you saw the opportunity, like, oh, I see her experiencing this. How should I handle it?
Yeah, I don't want to get too much detail about.
No, you don't
person.
Have. No, no, no. I don't but mean I, to pry. I don't mean
yeah,
to pry.
No, and I don't mind. I'm just trying to figure out a way to answer it without getting the one thing that we want to be aware of is she is a little bit of a pleaser.
Oh, okay.
You know, and she's got kind of, you know, she bounces back and forth between two homes.
Sure.
Right, right.
And so we want to make sure that she has her own experience and isn't just trying to make everybody happy all the time.
Sure.
So that's something that Krista and I have talked a lot about, and we've been conscious of pressing her a little bit to have her own thing and not just worry about what Dad wants you to do.
Right.
You know?
That's
so
understandable.
That's something that we're going to make sure that we keep talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. I some of these things are tricky, man.
For sure. And hearing you say, like, you were raised in what appears to be a supportive, loving household.
Yeah, I was a cul-de-sac kid.
Yeah,
I
like
had a very
happy, you like
idyllic,
yeah, like the
life.
The picket fence and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's just it seems strange, but your kids are always going to experience something, maybe not always, but the experiences your children have aren't always the ones you plan for them to have.
Right.
I know that's been mine.
Ava has that.
Yeah.
I didn't plan to have a kid bouncing back and forth between two homes. That's a fucking challenge before you even begin.
Yeah. It's but you know what?
And not to have a yard. I mean, again, these are kids are adaptable. They'll do whatever, but I just imagine my kid running around in the yard.
Yeah.
And we don't even have a yard.
Yeah.
You know, we have a roof garden.
Right.
We've got some killer parks.
Yeah.
And she'll have a totally different
and awesome Broadway. You got Broadway. You got plays.
You got Broadway.
See, I just, it's so funny that I told Max and Addie today on the way to school, like, we're having Kostaki on the podcast today. And, you know, we live less than a mile from our school. Yet I drive my kids to school.
Oh, right.
That's not the experience that Ava would have.
No, Ava's 100 yards from school.
Right.
We just walk over there.
Right. And it makes
right
sense.
There.
And it's, yeah. I mean, but we are, so there's like a church and like cornfields between school and us.
Right.
My son Max is ate up with living in the city. Like, that's what he like that is his goal in life, to live in. And what's adorable is that he thinks Indianapolis is the city. That's the city.
Well,
in comparison, yeah, he hasn't been to New
sure
York
yeah
yet
yeah
and those things. But that it's just like what my kids would do if they lived in the city. They've lived in the same house their entire lives. We have 2 acres. Our house backs up to a cornfield, and they cut the grass. And they ride their bicycle around the neighborhood.
I like that.
They have to be home at dark.
Yeah,
things
yeah
like that. Like,
yeah,
what a different lifestyle.
It's so different.
You know, but my kids are like, oh, I wish I lived in New York. I wish I, oh, that sounds so awesome.
There's so many advantages.
You just have no idea.
Like,
yeah.
We went to a children's museum that people would come from all over the globe
sure
to, like, go to. And mm-hmm it was, like, 6 blocks away.
Right.
And the dinosaur museum, the, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that place, we walked to that too, you know, mm-hmm, the one with the, that Ben Stiller is in all these movies, that mm-hmm thing.
Oh yeah.
That's our local museum.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, that's what New York does. That's
yeah
the cool thing of New York. You get on a subway and you go to
yeah
anything you'd ever want. But yeah, you don't kick them into the backyard to build a fort and build a dam in the creek. And that's what I grew up
with. And not
with
see him for hours.
Right.
Yeah. That
yeah
doesn't
can't
happen
do that in New York.
Mm-mm.
So
yeah,
it's a different existence.
It is very different.
So you're definitely making some trades.
Yeah.
And so we try to, in the same way that grownups do, you try to supplement your city life with some getting away time.
Mm-hmm.
So Ava goes to Maine with her mom, and there's a beach and a house and
sure
a thing and a yard. And then my mom has a lake house in Georgia.
Oh, wow.
And then we'd try to go to, you know, a Greece or a mm-hmm New Jersey or a mm-hmm something. We'd do these adventure trips
sure
to. And, you know, you try to balance it all out. Man, water parks are so fun.
You can't beat a good water park, that's for sure.
I said this, and I think it's true. It's my favorite part of being a dad.
Yeah.
A water park.
Uh-huh.
How many things are there in the world that a 6-year-old and a 45-year-old could enjoy, like, fucking ridiculous oh joy
simultaneously
level?
Simultaneously, yeah.
Is crazy yeah how much fun
the
a water park is.
The same look on your face.
the wave pool and the slides and the
yeah
and the lazy river and the giant, mm-hmm, like, to come down a thing that's, like, crazy
yeah
rate of speed and to splash in
they
and
have
the,
got,
you both come up laughing.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a great
oh
lazy
true
river, believe it or not, at MGM Grand.
Really?
What?
It lasts for
spoken
like
spoken like a true 57-year-old.
I want to 20 I'm 20 to 30 minutes you're in an inner tube and you're just and it really does take almost a half hour to go around this
oh
lazy
that
river.
Sounds wonderful.
Stayed there. I've never
it,
seen
our
that
friend Diane Gallagher.
Like,
do you know Diane Gallagher
back?
No.
Diane Cups.
Used to be Diane Cups. She was a comedian for a little bit.
In Houston.
No, I'm
she lives
good
in Houston.
I feel like you would
she's
know
a
her.
Houston crowd with what's his face.
But she has said to me that they do a lazy river thing where it's like almost virtually all day. Like you can't, like there's a floating cooler and you sit in an inner tube and
mm-hmm
you just go down a river. And I was like, that sounds like heaven.
Where's that?
And somewhere in Texas where she lives.
That sounds
yeah
great.
That sounds great.
We used to do the old-fashioned version. We'd get in the Chattahoochee, which is the river that goes through Atlanta, and you do the raft trips.
Yeah.
Like you'd leave a car here, and you take one there, and you'd get in, and there's
oh
a cooler,
yeah
and you sit in an inner tube for like 4 hours.
Also, it wasn't like whitewater.
No,
it wasn't
no
crazy.
No, it's like
oh
a very
lazy
river.
You know we did that?
Lake. White rock. Lazy River?
No, we did a...
Oh, the kayak in West Virginia. We went to West Virginia and did...
Or we had to do training the day before and
not
then kayaked.
Not New
oh
River Gorge or anything.
Yeah, the
but
two
it
of
was,
us.
It was,
I love kayaks.
I mean,
kayaks aren't super relaxing. Kayaks,
up,
no, it's serious.
You're afraid of drowning.
We went upside down.
Yeah, there was a thing where he's like, yeah, hey, look, here's what's going to happen is that you're going to flip upside down
right
here.
And you'll be
and
in
you're
going
to need to flip yourself up
fucking
around.
Terrifying.
It
was. And I don't know if you know Chick, but... That's not the way he flies.
No, that's not the way
me
I roll.
Neither. I used to be a whitewater instructor at summer camp. I used to teach that.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh,
And it's still, I'm not good at it, and I don't like it, and I don't even want to put the skirt on. I just want to be able to jump out of that thing whenever
exactly.
I want.
Exactly. That was my concern was, so when we came up to that part where he's like, here it goes, and you kind of see the crest of the water, and you see a little bit, and I'm just like, and he's like, but tuck your chin, because you might hit your head, and I'm like, we're going to fucking die like
we're
this.
We're going to fucking die.
So, before we got up there, and I was like.
But we had goofy helmets on, so that was
we
good.
Did have helmets. That made it a lot more fun. Yeah.
I'm not worried about hitting my head as much as I am being turned upside down and trapped.
And and cannot flip myself around.
Chances are not particularly
And you just have
good,
to be patient to let the water flip you back up.
No, I'm not patient when I'm underwater.
No. Like, I'm gonna find the surface is what I'm going to do.
Not patient.
Yeah. You know what it's so fun. You said earlier, like, I think of this thing that Tim Wilson said to me once. And
we all have something.
We all have Tim Wilson.
We all have something that he said to us once that I have it every day.
What is yours?
Maybe two or three times.
Ooh, what's yours?
Mine's kind of private, but
that's okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I didn't when I worked for the tour. Tim was very obviously he didn't need anything. Like he was never, but. He was the headliner, so you better like
pay attention to what he says.
Yeah,
if
whatever
he anything,
needs,
right.
I'm going to have.
Right.
And he always wanted a white towel.
Right, a white towel. And
for the first like three or four shows, like I fucking forgot the white. He sweats. He works hard and he sweats. And I forgot the towel. And he said, God damn it, Jesse. And I was like.
Always called her Jesse. Jesse?
Yeah, and I was like. And it was like your dad, like, disappointed. And I was like, I will never fucking forget that white towel again for the rest of my life. I won't. But I have one with Kostaki where we were traveling on the road. And I want to say Christy was with us. And it was me and you and Christy and one other, probably Ron. It was probably Ron Sexton.
Okay.
And we stopped at this dive bar. And to say the least, Christy was not happy. Like, it was literally on the side of a road bar. To stop and eat because there wasn't like even
right.
like there was a gas station or this bar.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And we stopped and it's like, I'll have a burger. I'll have some fried mushrooms or whatever.
Shitty burgers.
Yeah. Well, I ordered a steak and Kostaki looks at me and he was like, I can't believe you just ordered a steak at a bar. And I was like, and in my young mind, I was like, oh my God, he's judging me. This is terrible. It's the worst experience of my life.
Way to go, Kostaki.
I was 26, 27 probably. And I was like, this is terrible. I am so embarrassed. He probably thinks I'm an idiot from Indiana. But I have carried that with me and seriously, in meditation, have come to that and accepting who I am and knowing that you weren't judging me.
Wow.
And that you were going, good for you. Like, we all ordered burgers and you ordered a steak and you smiled and it wasn't. It's not a bad experience.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
But that has been, like, I'm going to say top 10 things that come to mind in meditation is that
wow.
happening.
Isn't that so interesting?
Yeah.
I'm flattered?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's been like, Kostaki is a good person. He has a full heart. So it came from a good place of, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember specifically.
I know,
but
it's so bizarre. But
generally,
you,
I'm just
you
curious.
You just smiled
like,
and
oh,
you were like,
ordered
you ordered a steak.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like we are out here and this could be a dog and you just ordered that steak. Like that could be dog steak. Like that, and it was. That
but
was the environment.
Kostaki never thought, well, this could be a dog hamburger too. You know? You don't know. Steak might be their specialty. You don't know.
Yeah, but I just, it's so funny, but in that.
I didn't even realize you were that young in retrospect.
Yeah, I was like 26 when I started doing that.
She has quite the old, I don't want to say aura, but that's what it is.
Yeah, and I don't even mean your age. I mean sort of like, oh, he's judging me. Like, you know, like, wow, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, I was very good at masking my insecurities.
I should be
more
aware.
Oh, I don't care, and I am just, what? Yeah, laissez-faire.
You know what Tim would tell me? I will tell you this part about Tim Wilson. He would tell me, we would get into these conversations, and I fancy myself as being, you know, well, I try to plow through Nietzsche and Kierkegaard and Wittgenstein and the people that, you know, all this crap.
I want to do
but
that.
He is fucking.
No, but in actuality,
but
Chick
is
just very good at memorizing.
Tim has like a giant fucking, had a giant fucking brain.
Yeah.
And I forget what I, what I said to him, or it happened a couple times, but one of my proudest moments is when he would look at me and go, and I would make a point, and would go, yes, that's right, yes. And he would say it with such conviction, and it would just like, oh, my God.
I mean, anybody who wasn't comfortable in their skin would go, mm-hmm, yeah, because they would feel like you're smarter than them.
Right.
But I think that it was a year after Tim died that I said, you know, if Tim liked you, he would teach you. If Tim didn't like you, he would school your ass in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was the difference. Yeah. That was the difference.
That's funny. Tim Wilson.
Tim and I, we got into it one time about, and it seems, obviously, it seems so stupid now. He saw an old promo picture of me in, I'm going to say Dayton or somewhere. And it, I've been up and down with my
weight.
Which
picture? I want to know which one this is.
This is right after I went on this
It's like the evolution of man with Chick and these promo pictures.
It's on this weight loss.
If you saw a picture from Chick in 1989, 88, 86,
whenever. I'm
going to
say it
whenever.
Wasn't long in there.
Okay. When he first got a promo picture with Bob and Tom show. And then put it next to a promo picture today. And probably even in the 10 years that you've known him. How fucking different he looks.
I had a mustache, and I was probably 190. I'm thinking 195.
Was that when you were doing Nutrisystem?
And I was doing this weight loss program. And he said something in my brain when he said it, shitty on the air, like, well, this must have been when he was on 21 Jump Street or something like that, you know. And I took exception with it. So the next time he came into the studio, I was kind of distant to him, and... So
this is a long time ago, though,
right?
Oh,
my God. This is 25 years ago.
Sure.
So he comes in the next time, and he goes, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. And I go, what's up? And he goes, you and me got sideways. I don't know what happened. I think I might have said something hurtful about how much you weigh. We need to talk about this. Let's sort it out, and we'll move forward from here.
I love that.
I mean, it was just that plain speaking. And from that point on, I just, he always, his attitude always reminded me of my dad. I looked, even though he's younger than me, I looked toward him, to him as a father figure. Right. And
won't he be inducted into the
Georgia Hall of Fame? Georgia Country Music Hall of Fame, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, in October?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
We should go.
That would be something, just to be there. And from that point on, I mean, I'd call him when he would not, you know, I didn't tell anybody or whatever. Obviously, I mean, I wasn't, hey, I talked to Tim Wilson last night or whatever. I don't, you know.
Right.
And I have, other than my father dying so unexpectedly, I have never been affected as much as,
oh, really?
As him,
I didn't know that.
As him passing away.
Because it sounds weird.
I still
but
can't believe it. I mean, I'll hear him on the air.
And for us, there was a constant between me and Ron and Tim for a long time.
You guys clocked a lot of road time.
We did
together.
A lot of road time. And then it was Chick and Christy every other weekend.
Right.
And
there's the famous story of me and Jess and Tim.
And
we
Ron.
Went to Albuquerque and
Albuquerque. I don't know if Ron was there.
No, it was just the three of us.
It was the
and
three
we
of
did
us.
Not see through.
We didn't
know
see
how
a hotel
works,
room.
Flight delays or whatever. Not a rental car not being available or whatever. From I got off the air Friday at 10:15, hit the road. I did not see the inside of a hotel. I did not see a real bed until I got home Sunday night.
That's crazy.
Because we went to Albuquerque. We slept backstage before the show.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just nuts.
It was.
But he was a warrior. And
yeah, he loved that stuff.
Road
he
warrior, that's for sure.
Dog.
That's
And I love that. And another Atlanta guy told me something that I think about a lot, Billy Gardell.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the same era when I was sort of like a kid trying to figure
and
out
Billy
comedy.
And Billy worked right under.
Yep.
Right under Tom for – Tim for years, right?
Yeah, yeah,
he was at his funeral.
Same manager.
He spoke at his funeral.
They were good friends. And
yeah, Chris DePetta.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy said, because we would go to these, whatever, MTV or HBO auditions, these sort of big New York or LA things. And And some of us road guys were kind of intimidated by that. And he was like, fuck that. You wear the road like a badge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ah, I thought about that just a couple weeks ago when I was doing a thing. I was like, that's, there's a beauty to the road and to the real, you know, this is my perspective as a road guy, to the real grittiness of, it's like a cowboy. You go into this town that no one knows you, and you got to figure out a way to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the next town. I just love that. And nobody loved that more than Tim Wilson.
Oh, my gosh. And embraced it.
Yeah.
Embraced it. And didn't... We were we were in Texas one time. And I want to say we were... Do you know where we were? The city we were in on Friday night?
El Paso.
El Paso.
Because Juarez was right across the border.
Yeah. The Juarez, locals came to us and said, do not... go to the border.
Don't go to Juarez.
Fucking stay here. Don't go. And we're like, all right, whatever. Well, Tim had Ari with him.
The night before we were in.
The night before, his son Ari was with him.
I forget where we were in Texas, but Tim got his signals crossed and thought El Paso and the city that we did Friday were much closer together.
But they weren't.
Turns out it was 10 hours.
No, I think it was longer. I think it was longer than that. But it was literally like one side of Texas to the other. Right. So he did his set. Him and Ari got in the truck.
Got off stage. Got in his
truck.
And
he
drove.
Told me, he goes, call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Make sure we're alive.
Yeah.
Call me again at 10 o'clock in the morning. Set my alarms to call him to make sure he was on track to where he was supposed to be. Because if they fell asleep in the truck, lost track of time.
And we traveled all day from whatever that first city was to El Paso. And we had all been in the plane and showered and had a nap or whatever. And we came downstairs for the lobby call to go to the next show. Here comes Tim and Ari just off the road.
Yeah.
He's going to go upstairs, shower, come right back down. We did a show.
That's adorable that you think that he went upstairs and showered. I really think that he was just going with us to the venue.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just got out of the car and changed his clothes and went
off
there.
But can you imagine those experiences? And I remember... his daughter,
Sophia,
and she at his funeral, she said that her dad always said, write something for me. And I will never forget that because Tim would ever even know this, but I say that to my kids since I heard Sophia say that at his funeral, write something for me. She goes, my daddy always wanted me to write something for him. And I'm just like, God, just write something for me. And how he was a writer. He was a songwriter. He was a fucking poet. That's what he was.
Right.
I mean, he was a philosopher. He was so many things. But that, it's her father's funeral and she's 20 years old. And she said, my daddy always said, just write something for me. And I was just like, God, that she has that.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's insane.
I want to be more like him.
Yeah.
That story that, about just pulling you, we got sideways and just talk it through.
Just talk it through.
If we could do that, on an individual level, right. With your wife, with your coworker, with your whatever.
Whatever it is.
Globally, if we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down and go, hey, something got weird. Let's figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out. And that's basically what he said. He's like, look,
instead of wandering around with resentment.
I don't know what I said one morning, but it was something about they were having some sort of like $1,000 a plate dinner for
something wonderful.
Something wonderful. And Kim Basinger was supposed to be there or something. And I said, I wouldn't pay $1,000 a plate if they served me shrimp out of Kim Basinger's vagina or whatever.
And Tim.
And Tim got that. He had the best. He had the best laugh in the world. I mean, his real laugh was, you can't compare it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was less like, oh my God. So we got off the air and he's like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And Scotty Bratcher, the guitar player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy Gardell talked about him at Tim's funeral. He said, there's nothing like standing in the glow of Tim thinking you're the best whatever in the world.
Yeah.
And Scotty Brecher was the last
Scotty
person
was
to
the
experience that.
He's the best guitar player in the world, and there's nothing like feeling that from Tim.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that Tim Tim promoted Scotty more than he promoted himself. Oh, like, that's how much he believed in that.
There's nothing like having Tim believe in you. And Billy Gardell was like that, too. Billy said that Tim believed – Tim told me Billy Gardell's going to be the next Jackie Gleason. And
wow.
Look,
It's true. Yeah.
Right. He has a huge television show. And
he's a big guy.
Yeah. He's great.
He's very funny.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, those are the guys that were kind of big deals in Atlanta when I was growing up. So
those two?
Yeah, not growing up, but when I was figuring out stand up, those were like the giants in the town, you know?
Huh. Oh, sorry.
I like your house, buddy.
Yeah, it's getting there. I'd like to I don't know. I like it here, I guess, but you said it. I'd like to be closer, I think.
Why wouldn't you? You got to start at 6 a.m. Yeah. Being closer would be good.
I mean, it's still – but then there's that balance. I do like kind of sort of a drive. Where
getting
I can
away.
Kinda,
yeah. Right.
And yeah, and I'm not like 5 minutes away where I can run right in. And,
right.
But we'll see. I'd like a basement. I like basements. But
For a New Yorker, just to come into a house is so like – oh my God, you have a thing and there's space and you could have...
I know that's what I liked about this is that the roof, the ceiling in the main room is
ceiling's high and
pretty high. So
you got a beautiful porch and a backyard and a thing and another room where you can
and
do
two dogs. You
want.
Two dogs, no waiting. And
it's good, man. Well, come to New York, we'll show you around.
I'm going to go everywhere. I'm going to go to L.A. New Year's Eve. I'm going to go to Austin.
I'm jealous of that. I'm glad you're doing that.
I keep talking about doing shit like that, and it never happens. And by God, this year that is absolutely
go to L.A. Please report back. Yeah, what's Austin? What's there?
Just Marty. Marty Hand is in Austin.
Oh yeah.
And my buddy Bob Schneider is in Austin.
Oh.
And all sorts of stuff. So
I lived there for 10 months.
Oh, did you?
I love Austin. If I always used to say, if I didn't have a family or professional reason for picking a city, I would live in Austin.
Austin is badass.
It's got a great combination of...
Great weather.
Never snow.
Nope.
College town.
Yep.
Capital of the city. So it's not just a college town in the middle of nowhere like
and no
Athens.
Bugs.
And no bugs because of the bats.
Right.
You know, Houston has a bat bridge. Did you know that?
It has a lot of the trappings of a big city without some of the yucky... There's not like a crime or a traffic problem the way most big cities have, but it has some of the big city trappings of like, whatever, some real culture and some events. And it's also a magnet for everyone who's cool in Texas eventually winds up
in Austin.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, did you know that there was a bat bridge because you've been watching the Houston Texans...
Let me tell you something about Hard Knocks.
Is it not great? Did you watch this year's?
It's the best documentary
in
the world.
It has to be.
This year's Hard Knocks, and I've watched them all. This year's Hard Knocks.
It's good.
Look at the look on my face.
And you know NFL.
This is a good documentary regardless of the subject.
If there are two people who we could honestly educated and talk about the NFL, it's you two. I feel like you two could... You two could.
It's our little baby.
Because I don't feel like Kostaki is as emotionally tied to the NFL, not just the Redskins.
Oh, I'm emotionally tied.
You're emotionally tied to the NFL, period.
Yeah, you
mostly
are.
The Redskins, but you feel like it's a sibling that you never had.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
No, because my father loved the National Football. And this tweet will come out in what is it, three weeks from now. I never miss him more than on the opening weekend of the NFL.
Really?
Because we would sit and we would watch, the Browns and the Packers.
Right.
He would show me stuff and he would say things and then the announcers would say it and I would just be, oh my God, this guy.
That's cool.
You know, what you're supposed to feel about your father.
It's so funny because your father was such...
A hippie?
No, not even a hippie. Like your father was past a hippie. Like your father was your father. Like he was his own person. He loved the NFL.
Yep.
And he sold some drugs. And he wore one of those Mexican ponchos. Like he was his own person.
Yeah.
And not to mention, he was incredibly gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
he's a beautiful man. Here, let me find
your picture.
Oh, that's interesting.
Should we put this up on the website? The picture of me and my dad.
See, I'm jealous of that story because I never had those kind of beats with my dad. We didn't have like a...
That's me and my dad.
Oh, yeah.
In 1976.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could see where Chick has evolved into the beautiful human being he is today, but he's evolving into his father. His father is very handsome.
I wish, you know, my father obviously had...
He had a Manson-esque quality.
My father had
like,
demons.
Very handsome.
My father had demons. There's, look at the hair on that kid.
I know.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You know,
but look at him.
I am 14 years older than him. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was 76. So he was... Let me figure this out. He was 34 there. Does he look 34 or 35 there?
Yeah, that's about right.
But see, here's a picture of Chick and his mother, or Chick's father and mother when they were teenagers, right before you were born.
What is it? Is this the shotgun picture?
No. But look at that.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy how much they look alike?
Wow.
Who?
You and your dad.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that. So at all.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we look alike at all there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Show them the shotgun picture.
Is that one on the refrigerator?
This is a little rebel without a cause. That's almost like a young Tim Wilson, too, actually.
Yeah, well, see, that's not only physically did he look like my dad, but, I mean, mentally, he was very much that philosopher, laid-back, easygoing.
This is Chick's parents.
This
is
a true picture.
His mother is about 9 months pregnant with Chick.
This is 1957.
Wow.
They're kissing, and his father's holding a shotgun, and his shirt is unbuttoned all the way down.
I'm in mom's belly.
Isn't that awesome?
Mom's 17, dad's 18, and there we are.
You can see his belly and the shotgun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. your dad's not as hairy as you are.
My dad never buttoned his shirt up all the way. It always stopped.
And what do I always tell you? You look your most handsome when your shirt's undone.
It was just, he just like, here you go.
Here you go.
That's it. I'm not going to button this extra.
Boy, 40-something? That's not fair.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Life.
Had a massive heart attack.
Life's fucking not fair.
Yeah, he had what I have, and he had a blockage and never got it fixed. And
he also encouraged.
He had a romance with cocaine, and it was just like, as my cardiologist told me, it was just like flipping a switch.
Right. Oh, man.
Well, Dr. Will, that's what happened to him. You were deader than Grover Cleveland. That's what they told him.
And, so they told him?
Yeah, he just passed his six-year anniversary of that.
Wow.
Yeah, he died.
He died, and they had to bring him back twice, mm-hmm. and the whole deal.
It was a heart thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Norm Macdonald stand up about this?
No.
But his dad is always afraid of terrorists or whatever. He goes... And he lays out the stats, like you're way more likely to be killed by your own heart. And he does this whole thing about your heart attacking and killing you.
Oh, it's a heart attack. Look it up.
That's great.
Attack,
I'm going to have to watch that.
You gotta look
I like
it up.
That.
It's like a 5-minute thing. It's easy to find on YouTube, and it's great.
I love him.
Because I Norm feel
McDonald,
that way.
Yeah, he
There's
really
something
got,
about him
He got
that,
emotional about Letterman, and a lot of people thought it was
that's
put
a
on.
Real,
but no, it was
Don't
genuine.
You feel like
sincere.
He's probably the most emotionally intelligent of...
Oh, Norm Macdonald? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a freaky great comic and really interesting, brilliant writer and, thoughtful guy. And
look
that up. You'll love that.
What do you think the thing is with KFC? Do you think they're going to continue to do these...
The Saturday Night Live.
The Saturday Night Live alums? Like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm serious.
Because it was what's-his-face? Daryl. And now it's Norm.
Uh-huh.
Who's...
They got to do a female next, hands down.
No, they got to do Sandler next.
No, they have to do a female next.
Who would the female be?
Who would you pick?
There's
some good ones.
There are some good ones.
Most of them are still
alive.
I was just going to say, I was getting ready to say.
Jan Hooks was one of my favorites.
Jan Hooks is who I would go to next, honestly.
No, but she died.
Yeah, I know that part.
She's dead.
I know that part.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
She was on a show called Tush when I watched Channel 17.
See, when
in
I think of Jan Hooks, I think of
Bill Tush.
Yes.
Pee Wee Herman.
This
There's
is
no
Pablo.
Basement in the
Pablo
Alamo.
And Ineas. Can you say hello to Pablo and Ineas?
That's where I go, is obviously with that, with Pee Wee.
You referenced yesterday morning Channel 17 from Atlanta. I didn't realize that was national until many years later, because it was always the Braves channel.
And I was like born at the perfect time when like all this out of DirecTV, satellite delivered, cable delivered programming, like WGN and WTCG, WTBS in Atlanta, same thing. And it all became...
And that's why there's so many, nationally, there's so many Braves fans, because they were boys.
I was a Hawks fan.
They were kids when
until,
that was on.
Up until Reggie Miller kissed me on the neck one morning before the Bob and Tom show. I was an Atlanta Hawks fan, and Dan Roundfield, the whole guy, all the guys.
Oh, I remember those names.
Yeah.
And a steady heterosexual.
And a steady, until Reggie kissed me on the neck. And then, you know, what would you do?
So, what would you do?
It's his birthday, by the way, like yesterday as we're recording.
Was it really?
Reggie's 50th birthday.
Aww.
Reggie Miller.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks the exact same.
I tweeted him. Yeah, he does. And he tweeted me back. I miss our banter. Stuff like,
oh,
like that.
Oh, he loved
it was very
you.
Nice. Yeah, I miss him.
That's cool.
I miss Reggie. He was the first.
He was the first superstar in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he really was.
Like,
yeah,
we didn't have that before. No. Baltimore Colts? How long? I mean, honestly. And and Harbaugh was okay. But Peyton Manning was the first football superstar for us.
Right.
But
Reggie started it.
Reggie was.
And now that Reggie Wayne's a Patriot, will everyone get back on my side? And
who was it that said that? That said
the best Reggie.
It said it's like breaking up with a girl and then getting pissed off when she starts dating somebody else.
Here's
that's
the thing.
What happened.
Yeah.
That's they, almost
good.
The same.
Let him go. They
good
fired
for,
him.
Yes.
Good for Reggie Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do
good
you?
Good for him. The Colts didn't want him. The Patriots did.
Do
but
it.
But there's only one Reggie.
Oh,
in Indianapolis.
Reggie Miller.
Okay. Reggie Miller.
Hands
down. Reggie Wayne's nice, but...
I was going to ask you... I don't know. This is getting a little bit off track, but did you say 64 catches last year?
Yeah.
And that was his worst year
That was his worst year.
That was his worst year.
That's a big year.
That's nuts.
That's a big year for
That's
my...
That's nuts.
What a
I don't,
good career.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean...
I don't know. It's kind of the same thing, though. Like, I mean, everybody was butthurt when they let Peyton go. And it's just like... I don't know. Everybody wants to hate on what's his name? What is his name? With the nose and the face and the bad suits. Owns the team.
This is a fun
Ursay.
Game. Ursay.
Jimmy. Jim
How is
Ursay?
Anyone supposed to get it from that?
Oh,
I wish
would.
People could see.
No,
Chicks
I would.
Me.
I was
Chicks
close. I was going to go. I almost said Ryan Grigson, but then. Jim Irsay, yeah.
With the face. That
with
guy
the
with the face.
With the face, he wears the shoes.
Still to this, Scott Van Pelt from ESPN, the owner of one of the funniest sports lines I've ever heard when Jimmy was arrested, picked up by the police. And he had, remember the shirt he had on?
No. Oh, yeah.
He had a black shirt on with this wild embroidery on the back.
Oh, it's a Greg Hahn shirt is what I called it. That's a Greg Hahn shirt.
But Scott Van Pelt said, that is a severe going out shirt.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm going out, I'm going to wear that fucking shirt.
That's
you know?
True. I've never heard that.
Severe going out shirt.
What's your do you have a severe That's going a out word. Outfit?
I think I'm wearing it.
I think you are.
The Psycho Bunny.
Olive Psycho,
the Psycho Bunny.
And black Nikes.
Psycho Bunny V-neck. Short sleeve.
You know what I think of when I think of Kostaki? I think of Life is Good.
Yeah.
That's a brand.
Yeah.
Because I was always like, I'd always read your shirt and just be like, you know what? Take that in. Whatever his shirt says, take it in for the day. It's true. It's so simple and yet so easily applied.
Well, I'm glad we've got Kostaki figured out for this
that
episode.
That half-full shirt. I'd look down and try to think that all the time.
Some of my best memories are with Kostaki on the road. Just random.
Those were good days.
They
you
those
remember
were.
The
those
night,
were fun.
You remember the night, Charleston, South Carolina, hotel lobby.
I'd rather not, but go ahead.
Hotel lobby. Shut up. Hotel lobby. Me, you, Tommy Jonigan, Kostaki, and his computer.
Was that Charleston?
I'm pretty sure it was. We were in the lobby, and
remember,
you were playing
it was
music.
I know what you're talking about.
And it was like, we were all like, wow, you've got all this music.
And
on
you're
your...
like, I've got
like,
all this music
done...
on my computer. We can just sit here and listen to my computer.
I've music
like,
on a computer since I was in college.
And it was the first night Tommy Jonigan
got drunk,
is what he told us.
Mm-hmm. He
remember
did.
Remember this?
I know what you're talking about now, yeah.
I remember this, but I didn't
it's like
I didn't
Hilton
know it was in
Garden
Charleston.
Maybe
something.
It was in Charleston.
I don't think it was in Charleston.
Because that's not
Charleston
the hotel
was
I
different.
Remember.
Yeah, no, it's not. Let's play that game.
Okay.
No, in Kostaki, I don't know why we didn't go to someone's room or go to a bar.
We were just sitting in the lobby.
We
were just in the lobby.
We brought drinks down there.
Right after the show. Yeah.
Or maybe we brought drinks from the venue.
Was Tim there?
That sounds more right. There was a lot of Canadian mist.
Because I got a lot of...
A lot of sponsor products.
You can
take
the boy out of Georgia, but I can't leave free booze behind.
No.
You got to bring that to the next thing.
Put it in a duffel bag. Yeah. And we would go. And I still have a picture of Tommy John again, just like in his suit.
The first time
and
drunk
so
ever.
Young and just like, like
so
drunk
young.
In the chair.
Drunk in the
so
chair.
So young.
Yeah.
So young. His girlfriend had just broke up with him.
And we're trying to decide if he's had his second baby yet. Has he had his?
Time out. Is there another baby coming?
There's definitely another baby coming.
There's definitely another baby.
Whether the baby
is that
come
right?
Yet.
No, there is.
Wow.
Did he mention that last
time? I'm 90-something percent sure there's a second baby on the way.
I did not know that.
Maybe the baby happened, or I don't know.
Wow.
That Harper is...
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Have you seen the latest pictures of her with the sunglasses?
With her iPhone 5? He's like, what year is this? 2013? It was very funny. It was very funny. Yeah, she's adorable.
All right, the only way we can drink more is to wrap this up. So,
is that what we're going to do?
We should probably drink more. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to drink more.
Kostaki, thank
I'm
you.
Home.
You guys are great.
We never know what to expect with any of our guests. But
we always know it's philosophical, and we're going to cry a little bit. But that's our...
I cried. Did you cry?
All three of us teared up.
We did tear up. All three of
us
did tear up.
At different times. We each had our turn.
Yeah. Let's try to make it to Atlanta. I want to go.
Yeah. For the induction? Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
And is Greg Allman being inducted?
Yeah, same time.
The same time as Tim. And if you've ever spent any time with Tim.
Oh, wow.
You know about Greg Allman. And it's nuts.
Oh, let me know. Maybe I can weasel a thing.
Weasel a thing and go? We should all just get together.
We can go stay at my mom's house.
And then we can see domesticated Kostaki.
Oh, my gosh.
Like little baby.
That's the
like
root
little
of
baby
Kostaki.
Grown,
you can
like
see
little
the
baby
of it right there.
The root of Kostaki.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Kostaki,
let's do this.
Tell us your website. And then how do we get a hold of you for quick snaps and all that stuff?
It's Trash Day at Chick's House.
No, it's alternate Trash Day because it's, what day is it, Tuesday?
It's Tuesday.
This is the other Trash People.
Oh, it's the other Trash
My Trash People's Monday.
This is the competition?
We're separate but equal here in this neighborhood. So
I don't know if you heard, but separate is inherently unequal.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the decision. No,
how do I get hold of Quick Snaps if I want to put it on my radio station?
Okay. The best way to go is to go to Kostaki.com. One of the many advantages of being named Kostaki. You can get the website.
It is Kostaki.com.
So it's not like Greg Warren
that's
comedy
it.
Where you just have to do Greg Warren comedy because Greg
Warren's
already
taken.
You just have
to keep going. No, we don't have that problem. So, yeah, do that. And then... join my mailing list and get a free album download for free.
Ooh.
Just for joining.
Holy moly.
And then click on the podcast, and that's free too. And that's about 35 minutes every Monday. All football jokes and a little bit of guy talk. And
see, I was telling Max and Addie, like, we always go over what's our day going to be on the way to school. And I said Kostaki. And I was like, you know what, Max? Because he's a football player. He's a big kid. He's fucking huge, actually, for his age. And he's finally accepting that that's who he is.
Oh,
that he is a linebacker and he's gaining speed and he's enjoy. And I was like, but he isn't quite there to where he enjoys watching the game yet. Because as Chick will tell you, when Max and Chick have Max and Chick days, he's always like, what do I need to do to become a comedian? I want to be a stand-up. This is what I want to do. But he's actually a very good football player, but he is so inside his own head that it's hard. I think we're going to start listening to your podcast.
Listen to the Quick Snaps. It's
Don't
guy
you think
talk.
That's probably the way to go.
It's about the same
football
level of cleanliness as this, mm-hmm. like grown-ups talking. Mm-hmm.
Kostaki,
with
he fucking lives with me, okay?
He'll be all right.
He's going to be all right.
Tell him that he wants to be me and I want to be him. I'm a comic who wants to be a linebacker.
There we go. There we go.
That makes it all even.
Yep. I love it.
Thank you, Kostaki.
Thank you so
guys.
Much. This was awesome.
It's awesome
Thank
to be
you,
here.
Jeff.
Cheers.
You're welcome.
Let's do this. All right, everybody.
In the morning in the back of the Beamer. Now mama, what's up? I know that you're a schemer, but you can't be frightened when it comes to this. Put down your back tricks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city. I said I'd get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. And you liked it like that, to be so big and to be so fast. Because we up in the mud house, over in the club, getting crumb, bling, bling. I got some love for you. Ass moving so fast, can't think. Big buzz, pound.
house and I'm on the sink. I wish you was here, but I can't be sure. The night's all black, everything's a blur. Got my jacket on, smoking, looking like juice, honey, on the table, and my shit's all insane. Ain't got no dough, all got my body. Shoes in Nicaragua, my socks are crew. I got my hair slicked back so I can check out you. I got some nice shit to say and it sounds so good. You wanna write it down so when you're back in the hood, you can check back with it as you hit the pot, make sweet love to it all night. Up in the mud house, over in the club, y'all, we getting crunk, bling, bling. Got some love for you. Ass moving so fast, can't think. The big buzz bouncing up on the sink. I wish you was here, but I can't be sure. The night's all black and everything's a blur. I got my jacket on, smoking, looking like you. Honey on my table and my shit's all insane. Ain't got no dough. All got my 40.